Thank you. This coming week, when we flip the page on our calendar, we will discover that new year. Now, we view this event with a feeling of expectation, acknowledging that it brings much promise and probability. You see, when something is new, it has not yet been tested or tried, and no one has yet filled in the blanks or used up the empty spaces. It suggests a fresh start, a new beginning, a time when we can choose to make a few changes and do things differently. Now, all of this does sound really good, but we also understand that it requires a conscious act on our part to allow it to happen. If our life is to be transformed or altered in some way, it is reasonable to assume that what must be altered or transformed is our view of life. If we are not able to observe, consider, or contemplate differently, we will continue to perceive in that same old way, carrying yesterday's responses into the new year, simply repeating the actions and the reactions of past times. So while we view this new year with expectation, we also have a sense of uncertainty, falling somewhere between concern and anxiety. When we think about what might lie ahead, we realize that much of what happens seems to be beyond our control. And I think that the reason for our hesitation is that when we reflect on last year's events, we think in terms of success and failure. We recall our acts of commission or omission, judging what we have done or perhaps what it is we have left undone. We might even carry around a little bit of guilt concerning what took place. Now, I wish that I could assure each one of you that what is over, and yes, you did the best that you could. Learn from it, come to terms with it, and then move on. I wish I could convince you that it's not necessary to beat ourselves up, agonizing over what we might consider our mistakes and failure. But we are human beings, and human beings love to drag up the past, reflecting on its events, and in the process, hoping for redemption in some way. But you know, this is not how Jesus handled these matters. When he spoke with the Samaritan woman at the well, he gave instruction in this way: "Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Knowledge of everlasting life is offered to the one willing to receive it, regardless of the human picture. The woman answered, "Sir, give me this water that I thirst not." Jesus told her to call her husband so that he too could partake in this way. She answered that she had no husband. Jesus acknowledged that, yes, this was true. In fact, she had had five husbands, and the one that she was with now was not her husband. When I read this, I realize that Jesus is telling her that what we do as human beings does not negate our spiritual nature. At any time, we may turn from where we are and worship the Father in spirit and in truth, consciously aware of his blessings and gift of eternal life. Human actions, regardless of motive or intention, do not change our true identity. When Jesus was on the cross, two criminals were there with him, also meeting their fates. One of the individuals, he confessed what he had done, admitting that he was indeed receiving his just reward. But he acknowledged that Jesus was different, that he was indeed of God. Giving recognition, he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus answered, Verily I say unto you, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Again, Jesus is telling us that while we do admit our mistakes, that a better way awaits our attention and our acceptance. The act of atonement is to accept the offer of eternal life, to drink from the well of spiritual wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, the one that never runs dry. And when we can do this, we step outside the laws that govern that man of flesh and blood, and we come under the grace of God. Now, each of us will commemorate the coming of a new year in a personal way. Some of us will gather together with our family and our friends, perhaps attending those New Year's Eve parties or another social event. Some will attend concerts or perhaps a church service. Others will seek the solitude of their own company for personal reflection and contemplation. Now, I think that whatever we choose as our way of remembrance, that we are simply observing life and what it has to offer. Now, I believe it is appropriate for us to do so, but let it be free of judgment and condemnation. You see, life brings us both joy and sorrow. It brings us times of smooth sailing, but also those times of rocky conditions. It is helpful to acknowledge and experience both. Now, this past year, we may have lost a loved one, and yes, it does hurt. We grieve and we mourn. We miss their physical presence. We long to hear their voice and be with them. There are losses. The loss may have been a friendship, a job, or material possessions. And then we consider what we call the good times, the times when everything seemed to be going our way. In our time of reflection, we discover a very interesting thing. We notice that our attitudes and our reactions are essential to how we name the event. When a loved one left us, it was a time of deep sorrow. The question for us is, how did we address this profound experience? Sometimes we are carried to the depths of human grief, unable to climb out. But Jesus spoke of eternal life. How else could he promise the individual, the one beside him on the cross, that he would see him today in paradise? Not some future date in time after he had somehow atoned for his actions. No, he said this very day he would see him in paradise. Can we not assume the same for our loved one who has simply gone on before us? In our time of silent reflection, we could give thanks that this individual came into our lives and touched us in a meaningful way. We are indeed grateful to have shared this lifetime of experience together. And yes, with the promise of eternal life, we look forward to that time when we will once again walk side by side, hand in hand, but this time in our spiritual bodies the ones of eternal faith. In our time of personal reflection, we realize that regardless of what it is we are going through, that God never leaves us. Now, those of us who are here this morning, we're interested in truth, traveling the path that leads to greater understanding. And in the beginning of our journey, we practice as a human being, carrying the burdens of past mistakes and regret. Now, we intuitively sense that we must release these burdens of mistakes and regret, because you see, they keep us stuck in that time called yesteryear. But we really aren't quite sure how to do it. We may not yet understand Jesus' instruction to drink from the spiritual well. It never runs dry. We do not realize that giving focus and attention to the spiritual life is the activity that allows for release. Now, not knowing this, at first we do our work in an outer way, depending on us to figure it out and make it happen. So our first attempts at release, they're more symbolic than meaningful. And we may begin at one of those New Year's Eve parties. Our act of atonement may be to promise that we will do better. We may resolve to find new ways to meet challenges and disputes. We resolve to be better human beings, to enhance and improve us in some way. Our intent is to transform us so that we do not make those same mistakes that we made last year. Now, we might not be able to articulate just how we're going to do all of this, how we're going to become better, or just what measures we will put in place to improve us. Oh, yes, we may say that we want to lose weight, perhaps study a new language, take up a hobby, or learn to play a musical instrument. But you see, simply making these statements does not guarantee that we will follow through and actually do them. This is why I say that at first, some of our attempts may be more symbolic than meaningful. There is a practice that is used by some metaphysical teachings that is called the burning bowl. It is described as a ritual assigned to the end of the year as a symbolic release of everything that no longer serves us. These include all of those negative patterns, things we call problems, all of our unfulfilled expectations, and all of those hurts that hinder and restrict. Now, individuals are asked to write all of these things down on a piece of paper and toss them into a bowl. Now, I can understand the intent of this activity. We really would like to be free of all of the hurts and the pain of humanhood. Writing them down on a piece of paper and passing them into that bowl would certainly indicate our intention to be rid of them. Now, there are also other suggestions too. One has us mentally placing all of our troubles in a balloon, and then releasing the balloon to the sky, allowing the wind to carry it just beyond our view, so we no longer have to look at it. Now, these actions, when we think about them, they concern activity that deals with problems at the level of the problem. These individuals who write their troubles on a piece of paper or place them in a balloon, they are told to become still and ask their heart to tell them what to include, advising them what to be rid of. But you see, these are matters for the human judgment. The heart speaks to us of spiritual things. Divine science teaches that the sole purpose of being still in an inward way is to be in God's presence, no other reason and no other agenda. In God's presence, there is nothing else. The heart does not know of human acts, of commission or omission. It is of God. And in the presence of God, those trials and tribulations of the world, they do not exist. Jesus told us to give no thought for our life, for what we shall eat or drink, or what we shall put on. Now I expand this to include, give no thought to what life may bring us. Each has its reason and its purpose for being. God alone provides what is needed, and we should welcome it as the necessary thing. But also remember that we do not walk alone. I go before you. I make the crooked places straight. God did not send us into this world to fend for ourselves. He is a very present help in our time of learning experience. That time of sorrow, it brings profound wisdom, knowledge, and understanding not gained in the lesser experience. We should not try to avoid it or skip over it. And we should not try to release or get rid of something before the lesson is learned, no matter how painful it may appear to be. And then when the lesson is learned, it will release itself. It is suggested that we consult our heart concerning what to do. Well, yes, let's do so. When we do this, when we become still and enter that silent place, we learn that God is the way, the truth, and the light. There's nothing else. All that dwell therein drink the spiritual water that renews and restores. There is no atonement, no act of judgment, just the quiet assurance, I am here. Turn to me. Your sins are forgiven you, for you are my child. I am your sufficiency. So my next consideration should be, how do I apply this information to me as I begin a new year? It comes with potential and possibility, but what role do I play? Clearly, life is to be experienced in its variety of ways. Yes, we are to taste of both joy and sorrow, its pain and its pleasure. And to me, this is the key. No matter what our expectations may be, life will give us all that it has to offer. So it's not so much a matter of the form that it will take or when it will appear. The thing is, there is no doubt, it will express. So it now becomes a matter of what will we do with it when it arrives. Will we consider it an event to be lived and experienced as a teaching moment? Or will we call it a burden, not wanting to face it, just hoping it will all go away, preferably sooner rather than later? But there again, that's that human being doing the talking. I've mentioned many times before that life continues to present itself to us in a variety of ways. And really, who says that I have to like it? My soul knows what I need, and I trust that it will bring it to me. I truly believe that what comes to us as experience in this new year comes for a reason, or it would not have been given to us. Now, in the past, we may not have handled things as well as we could have. we made mistakes and poor decisions. But this was when we were trying to act on our own, looking to the new year to do something for us, or looking outside us for atonement and redemption. It is the activity of inner being that does the work. And when we step back and give no thought, it will fill in our slate of empty spaces, allowing life to unfold according to what is best for us. It all begins with a shift in consciousness in our part, from the outer to the inner. Living from the place of inner being, it does not happen in just one attempt. We find us slipping back into those old patterns, the ones established in our early time of learning. Let us be patient with ourselves. When Jesus met the woman at the well, he acknowledged her past, but he also spoke of a way of life that would take her out of her old patterns, one that required her to drink from the spiritual stream that does not run dry. She seemed so eager at the time, but we don't know if she was able to exchange her established habits for the new idea. Perhaps she continued her customary practice, seeking fulfillment in an outer way. All Jesus could do was to show her a new way. It was up to her to live it. And so it is with us. Carrie Muntz, an early Divine Science minister from Denver, she pointed out that high ideals, they are not developed quickly. No one, not any of us, has a clear perception of an unexplored or new way of life. But we must persist until we have clear direction from the one who knows, the spirit within. And I think this is so important. The shift in consciousness, the one that allows us to live inwardly, relies on the spirit within for guidance and direction. So you see, it's no longer a matter of us watching our thoughts or trying to be a better human being. Has nothing to do with getting rid of what we consider unwanted or unpleasant experience. In the presence of God, what troubled us no longer exists. No need to try to work with something that does not exist. Now, all of this has nothing to do with our education, prestige, or our social standing. To drink from the spiritual well means that it is our only sustenance, our only source, our only sufficiency. So again, I say to you, at the advent of this new year, be patient with yourselves. I spoke about attitude. A continuing attitude of faith helps us to be patient. Oh yes. As we venture into this new time of experience, we will make mistakes. Some of them may be serious. And yes, we may suffer remorse and regret. But please don't stay there too long. The reflection is always, what did I learn from this experience? There is a message of value and meaning. One that transcends actions and results played out here on the surface of life. Always there's something deeper and finer than what appears to be. But it does require patience to find it. So when we gather together with family and friends to commemorate the new year, we resolve to do things differently. Let the difference be in our spiritual growth and understanding. Patiently, I keep my attention above experience. My eyes are stayed on God. This morning we have the opportunity to turn within and remember from whence we came. Would you join me now in our closing meditation. In the solitude of this moment, let us become still and enter the sanctuary of inner being. We are alone with God. In the absence of thought, there is nothing to disturb us. We are free of the cares and the concerns of the world. We are free of opinion and judgment. Each day brings a new experience. What belonged is to yesterday is over. Tomorrow has not yet arrived. Let us resolve to bring each day into joyous recognition that greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. The self of inner being is Christ, the only begotten child of God. The Father within does the work, sustaining what he sent forth into expression. Our role is to listen inwardly so that we may be about our Father's business, serving as his avenue for expression on this earth plane. Let this be our only desire. Be still and know that this is so. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his light to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Turn within, acknowledge him, so that he may lift your consciousness and give you his peace. Amen.